We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, verses 35 and 36. The demigods appeal to the Lord. Verse 35. Agnir mukham yasya tujata veda.
Agnir mukham yasya tujata veda.
Jata kriya kanda nimitta janma.
Jata kriya kanda nimitta janma.
Anta samutre nupachan svathatun.
Anta samutre nupachan
svathatun. Prasita tamna samaha viputi.
Prasita tamna samaha viputi.
Agni mukham yasya tu jata veda.
Agni mukham yasya tu jata veda.
Jata kriya kanda nimitta janma. Samutre nupachan svathatun. Prasida tangna samaha viputi.
Prasida tangna samaha
viputi. Chant. Agni mukham yasya tu jata veda. Jata kriya kanda nimitta janma. Anta samutre nupachan svathatun. Prasida tangna samaha viputi.
Agni
mukham yasya tu jata veda. Personality of Godhead eats. Yasya. Of whom? To. But. Jataveraha. The producer of wealth. Or of all necessities of life. Jataha. Produced. Kriyakanda. Ritualistic ceremonies. Nimitta. For the sake of. Janma. Formed for this reason. Anta samudre. Within the depths of the ocean. Anupachan. Always digesting. Svathatun, all elements. Prasidatam, may be pleased. Na, upon us. Sa, he. Mahaviputi, thus supremely powerful. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Fire, which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies, is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fire exists within the depths of the ocean to produce wealth, and fire is also present in the abdomen to digest food and produce various secretions for the maintenance of the body. May that supremely powerful Personality of Godhead be pleased with us. And also verse 36. Yatschakshrasit tarani devyanam tayi maya pramana eshatisnyam dvaram chamukte amritam chamityu prasidatangna samaha vibhuti. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Achiradi Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas, and he is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is a source of eternal life as well as cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Purport. The sun god is considered to be the chief of the demigods. He is also considered to be the demigod who watches the northern side of the universe. He gives help for understanding the Vedas, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Yatshakshiresha savita sakalagrahanang rajasamasta suramorti deshesha tejaha yasya kaya pramatisam pitkala chakra govindamari purushantamaham bhajami. The sun, full of infinite effulgence, is the king of all the planets and the image of the good soul. The sun is like the eye of the Supreme Lord. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. The sun is actually the eye of the Lord. In the Vedic mantras it is said, unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees, no one can see. Unless there is sunlight, no living entity on any planet can see. Therefore, the sun is considered to be the eye of the Supreme Lord. That is confirmed here by the words Yatshakshrasit, and in the Brahma Samhita by the words Yatshakshresha Savita. The word Savita means the sun god. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langhayate girim yakipantamam vande shi gurum dinatavinam. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjara shirakaya chakshumenitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, as usual, the demigods and demons are fighting. It happens a lot in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the higher planets. The demons are always trying to defeat the demigods and take over the heavenly planets. So when that happens, everybody goes to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma goes to the ocean of milk when he can't handle it himself. So now at this point, Brahma is going with all the demigods to the ocean of milk and offering prayers to the Supreme Lord in accordance with the Vedic hymns. And he's saying he wants to convince the Lord that now is the time to invoke the mode of goodness. There is a time for passion, there is a time for ignorance, and there is a time for goodness. At the beginning of the creation is the time for passion, for everyone to create population and populate the universe. And Lord Brahma is there. But in the middle, it's time for maintenance. So now it's the middle of the creation. The demigods are there, and the kings, and they're meant to maintain the creation as representatives of the Supreme Lord. So now it's a time for goodness. Goodness is maintenance. It's not the time for destruction or ignorance, although it appears that the ignorance and the passion of the demons has gained the upper hold, the upper hand. But actually, it's the time for goodness, and Lord Brahma is offering prayers, and he's mentioning different aspects of the creation. Time is especially significant in relationship to the sun god, which we're hearing about today. And the Lord Omkara is goodness beyond this cosmic manifestation. And then he goes on to talk about the demigods And on earth, he talks about first earth in verse 32, then water in verse 33, and then moon in verse 34, and fire in 35. And now we've come to the Tejatattva, or the sun god, the eye of the Lord. So the Lord is watching everyone. He is the eye. You can't escape the eye of the Lord. And also, without him seeing, we cannot see. And so this is stated here in this verse. Without him, we cannot see. Or that's in the purport, actually. So at the beginning of creation, the glance of the Lord was the cause. It was one of the five causes of creation, actually. There were five causes. And all five were present at the beginning. In the glance, there were three of the causes. And that is jiva, kala, and karma. The living entities, and the time, and also the karma. And it was sent by the Lord himself, and that's Ishra, to Prakriti. So there we have the five topics of Bhagavad Gita. Jiva, Kala, Karma, Ishra, and Prakriti. So Brahman is actually the effulgence of the Lord, is the source of creation. Brahman, it's described that Lord Brahma is the engineer of creation. He just works with what is given to him by the Lord, or else he's compared to the gardener, and he waters the plant or the seeds which are given by the Lord. So this is what happens. And it's all from the glance, just by the glance of the Lord, just from his eyes, creation comes. So the main cause is the glance. And by the glance, maintenance is also there. And so they are worshiping the Lord. They want him to show himself to the demigods, to look at us with your beautiful eyes. Give us your glance and help us maintain. It is our service to maintain the universe. So we're just waiting for your glance upon us. In the 11th canto, it is also said that without the glance of the Lord, nothing can move in this universe. Nothing can be, actually. Without his, as long as he continues to glance, the universe will go on. It's not just at the time of creation that he glances. It's also every second. If he stopped glancing, if he stopped looking, someone closed his eyes, then finished. The universe would be finished. He has to look. He has to watch. And Bhagavad Gita says that Maya Takshena Prakriti, I am watching this universe, all the moving and non-moving living entities. So the sun god, the source of the sunlight, is the effulgence, the Brahman. The Vedanta Sutta says, Janmadhyasi Yataha. And the impersonalists, they think, okay, so that means Brahman. But Srimad Bhagavatam clarifies who is that Brahman. Janmadhyasa yaton vayari taratas chartesva vigyasvat. He is intelligent, he is conscious, he is a person. He is Krishna. And who is that Janmadhyasa? It's said before Janmadhyasa, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Vasudeva. He is this, Janmadhyasa yataha. He is the one from whom everything is emanated. King of all planets, he marks the path of liberation. That is what is here, Achiratma Vartma, I think Prabhupada says here, Achirati Vartma. So this path, what is this path of liberation that the sun god marks? It's described in the second canto that the yogis, they go out of the universe and they follow this Achiratma Vartma. They follow this path. It's described very carefully. You have to go through the sun, get purified of all your sinful reactions, and then go upward from one demigod, higher planet, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, Satyalok, until you go out. And these yogis who perfect the yoga system, it's described in Bhagavad Gita, they leave their body in the light, in the daytime, in the fire, and this is the path that goes upwards, and they can go wherever they like. Now, those who don't leave at this time, they go downwards. They follow, there's another path, so that goes down, and that's to the Petris. So they go to the lower planets of the universe. So the path upwards is the path of the sun. The path of the moon goes downwards. So north, he's watching the north. North is out, south is down, and you stay here. And if you take the upward path, you get liberation. If you take the downward path, then you come back again to this material world. So you have to go through the sun. But this is only for those who are not devotees of the Lord. Devotees, they take the fast path. They take the path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they don't have to go through all these other things. They just go very quickly back to Godhead. So we're very fortunate. And Krishna also mentions in Bhagavad Gita that devotees don't have to worry about the time they leave their bodies. It will be taken care of by Krishna. So, Yachakshi, Devayana, path of the devas. So the deva, he is the king of the devas, king of the demigods, Surya Narayan, and he is the source of light for this universe. But where is his light coming from? It is coming from the Brahman effulgence. And where is the Brahman coming from? That is coming from Krishna. So actually, the light is coming from Krishna. This whole universe is darkness. But some people think that the source of everything is the light. Haribol. Now, intelligent person... Okay, suppose, like, we're in this room now and there's some light coming in. So, where is the light coming from? Can you tell me? Where is this light coming from now? The sun. Very good. So, this is intelligence. It's coming from the sun. But an unintelligent person, he will say, no, it's just coming from the light. The light is coming from the light. But there has to be a source of light. So just like here in the altar also, there's light bulbs. So there's a source. So an intelligent person, you say, okay, go to the light. So an intelligent person will ask the question, well, where is the light coming from? Because we see here in this world, light has a source. So this light must also, of course, it's the sun, but where is the light of the sun coming from? Where is the light of the Brahman coming from? And that is Krishna. And Śrīla Prabhupāda said, and that is why the sky is blue, because it's reflecting Krishna's body. It's his effulgence. So you look up at the sky, you can remember Krishna. It's blue. Krishna is the source. And he says it in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, Jyotishamapita Jyotish Tamasa Param Uchite, that I am the source of light in all luminous objects, and also I'm in everyone's heart. So that is another type of light, which we'll discuss a little bit later. Actually, no, it's right here. He is the source for understanding the Vedas. So one type of light is the external light, and another type of light is in the heart, this light, which we get from Krishna. So when we chant our Gayatri mantra, those of you who chant Gayatri, first mantra is to the sun god. And we worship the sun god every day. In India, we hear this Gayatri mantra over loudspeakers. It's very favorite of the yoga groups in India now. So, and one time I walked into NVT, and there it was. There was some yoga group in NVT, and they were playing this Gayatri mantra. So it's very popular nowadays in India to hear this over loudspeakers, even like Hare Krishna mantra, although it's not meant for that. But the yogis, they chant this Gayatri, and they take advantage. If you read the book by Satchinandan Swami, he explains this in his book, that each level of the Gayatri mantra is different chakras on your body. And not only is it different chakras on your body, it is different lokas, like Burloka and Swargaloka, Maharloka, Jana, Tapa, all the way up to Satya. So the yogis, when they chant Gayatri perfectly, they can raise the life air up and out to wherever they like to go. So this is the perfection for the yogis. We don't have to worry. We just chant Gayatri, and we have so many Gayatris, so that'll help us a lot, because we can't do this yoga process. So we got to chant for Prabhupada and Gauranga and Lord Krishna. And that will help us. That will purify us so we can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very nicely. It will bring us to the mode of goodness. So the essence of the Vedas is Gayatri, and the essence of Gayatri is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the essence of Bhagavatam is also Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is the source of everything. So now another name for the sun god, Lord Shiva, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Lord Shiva has some very similar prayers to all the different demigods, the moon god and the sun god. And in the sun god, he has a very nice name, and that name is Paramahansa. Sun god is Paramahansa. And Prabhupada explains in the Purport, because we wouldn't figure it out how he's Paramahansa, but Prabhupada explains that he's Paramahansa because he purifies everyone's mind. And Prabhupada said, if you go out in the sunshine, you'll get purified. Just like the example is given, that if there is urine in the street, now in India we find this all over because they like to don't use bathrooms. We find urine, and the sun will evaporate the urine from the street and take the dirty things away and leave the place clean. So in the same way, Prabhupada says, if we keep ourselves in the sun, it will evaporate the dirty things from our mind. So this is very nice. Another name is Paramahansa. The sun is also Dwaram Chamukte, the door to liberation. And it is further elaborated, Amritam Chamrityu, that is Amrita, our nectar, and death. So the sun is the source of eternal life, and the sun is the source of death also. Isn't that interesting? You can get from one, you just go to one place and you can have your choice. You want eternal life or you want death? Just go to the sun. Because for the devotees, we serve Krishna. And so the sun helps us very much. When the sun rises, we get up early, we go to Mangalarti, and it helps us to wake up and to serve Krishna. But for the demons, the sun is death. How is that? Because the clock is ticking according to the sun. And Prabhupada said, when the handles of the clock are finished, then the demon will die. The atheist will die. So the sun is measuring our life. But for the sun, for the devotees, the sun is Amrita. There is a nice song here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which talks about the sun. And I'd just like to read a little bit about it, sing a little. Amana durlaba manava deha, payaki koro bhavana keho, evina bhaji leja shoda shuta, charme pori bilache. So Lord Chaitanya, he would go out on Harinam early in the morning, and everybody would be sleeping except the devotees. And he would say, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping in the daytime and decorating your body. So now you should just chant. Mukundi Yadava and Hari. You have achieved this rare human body, but you don't care for this gift. And you don't worship the darling of Mother Yashoda. Slowly you fall through your last moments to death. So this is the life of the non-devotees. Udito tapana hoi leyasta, dina gela bali hoi bebyasta, tave kano evi alasha hoi, napoja rito yarache. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? So the sun is rising, the sun is setting. For the materialistic people, it's lost. It's lost. So they don't know. They're in ignorance. They don't know that they're wasting their lives. One time, it was a friend. I was just visiting in Ireland, and he was telling me how he took his young daughter shopping out to the mall, and he was saying, see those people, their karmis, they're suffering so much. They don't know Krishna. You don't find a picture of Krishna in anybody's shop. You just see how they don't know anything. And she said, the daughter said, well, why don't you tell them about Krishna? So, yes, we have to tell them about Krishna. The people, the sun is rising and setting, and they don't worship Krishna. There's another verse in Bhagavatam, Ayur Harati Vaipunsam, the sun is rising and setting and taking away the duration of everyone's life, except for, there are some exceptions here. Who is the exception? Devotees. Which devotees? Who are chanting and hearing the topics of Krishna. Yes. In the beginning of Bhagavatam also, there is a very beautiful verse about Yamaraj. The sages of Naimisharanya have invited Yamaraj to Bhagavatam class. Actually, he wants to come because he loves to hear Bhagavatam. So he may be, one of you may be Yamaraj, we don't know, over here sitting. as long as Yamaraj is here, then we won't die. We won't die while we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. Very nice. It's Amrita. So this is our Amrita. We have the choice to drink Amrita, or we have the choice for Mrityu. So by chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Bhagavatam, we get the Amrita. We get the Amrita. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya and Kirtane Asada Hari. They go together. By chanting Hare Krishna, you can understand Bhagavatam. And by reading Bhagavatam, you get inspired to chant Hare Krishna. They both go together. I find that in my service of teaching Bhagavatam, sometimes I don't understand a verse, so I'll just read the verse, and then I'll chant a round of Hare Krishna on my beats. And after chanting, I get so much understanding of the verse. And one time I had to do a whole chapter on time, very difficult. So I chanted, I read the chapter, then I chanted all my 16 rounds. And after that, I got a whole chart on time to present to the class, which was really, really nice. So the chanting is Vidyavatu Jivanam. It is a source of knowledge. So for those who don't believe in God, then God comes as death. For the devotees, we see God all the time. We just come to the temple and we can see him. But so we're happy. We're very happy. We have the vision. We have Amrita in our eyes, so we can see Krishna. But the non-devotees, unfortunately, at the time of death, they don't know where they're going. It's, Prabhupada says, like a cat carrying a rat in its mouth. The rat is feeling terror, fear. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to be eaten alive, but he doesn't want to think of the future. A devotee is in just like a kitten in the mouth of the cat. And the devotee is feeling, oh, my mother is carrying me. And sometimes even in this life, we feel the teeth of the cat, but it's actually just Krishna. And we know where the mother cat is taking us, back home, where we'll be safe and secure. So the devotee at time of death, he's in the hands of Krishna. So this is Amrita. Amrita, because Surya Narayan, he is also representative of the Lord. So the non-devotees, they see God as death. Now, there is one thing I remembered. It's the one philosopher, I hear different names, but the name I heard was Nietzsche. It was written on the graffiti on the wall that God is dead, signed Nietzsche. And then underneath someone wrote, Nietzsche is dead, signed God. So God gets the last word. You may think God is dead, but actually, no, you are dead, and you will be dead. And then you will see God, time of death, these philosophers who don't believe. So Hiranyakashipu, he saw God in the pillar. Hiranyakashipu saw God as Nrisimhadev, as death. When he heard the sound, when Nrisimhadev came out of the pillar, they were thinking, where is this sound coming from? We never heard a sound like this before. And then Nrisimhadev came out and he killed Prahlad Maharaj. He saw Krishna in the pillar. He saw Krishna everywhere. And he would sometimes see the Lord when he was a small child, and he would start laughing. And then when the Lord would go away, he'd start crying. And he had no idea how his body was being taken care of. Just like I see so many little babies here, and they have no idea how their bodies are, how they're being taken care of. The mother is doing everything. The child feels cold, then the child doesn't know I'm cold. The mother says, oh, your feet are cold. I better put some socks on you, or anything. So Prahlad, the devotee, is like that. He doesn't know how the Lord is taking care of him, but somehow he's depending on the Lord, and everything is being done. So he doesn't worry about the future. He doesn't worry about the past, because he's always drinking Amrita. In Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter also, this Amrita is mentioned. What is that verse? Oh, yes. If you understand the soul and super soul, you will drink Amrita, and you won't die. So we drink Amrita. We are drinking Amrita now. So this is like the demigods. They also drink their Amrita, their nectar of immortality. So this is our nectar of immortality we're drinking. And Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is also, the sun god is also helping us in this way. There's another way that the sun god is the source for, here it says, the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. There's another way. Because Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan, the sun god. So it's because of him also that Bhagavad Gita is coming down also. It was coming down, of course, it was broken, so Krishna had to speak it again. Because of the sun god, the sun dynasty, the Surya Vansha, it started with Bhagavad Gita. It has to start spiritually. The management has to start spiritually, and then the other things can be added. So it all started with Bhagavad Gita. The sun god had his children, and then he told them Bhagavad Gita. He told the Ikshvaku, and then Ikshvaku had his children, Manu, and he told the Bhagavad Gita to Manu, this is how you do it. And Bhagavatam also, second canto, is the blueprint for creation, the universal form. That's a blueprint for creation. So it all comes from the Vedas, from Gita, from Bhagavatam, Gita Upanishad. And so the demigods here, Lord Brahma is glorifying the sun god and saying, Prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti, please, may that Lord be pleased with us. So this is the also another way of seeing how the sun god is source of the Vedas. Here we have chakshur, eyes. So we have shastra chakshus. You see through the shastras. So here are the eyes to see. He gives us the eyes to see through the shastras. So in Kali Yuga, we have many suns that have arisen. That's S-U-N, not S-O-N. S-U-N. One is the sun god, and another is Srimad Bhagavatam. What is another sun which has arisen in Kali Yuga besides Srimad Bhagavatam? Lord Chaitanya, Nitai, very good. They have arisen. And there's one more sun god, or sun, not god, sun, which has arisen in Kali Yuga. The holy name. Holy name is like is the sun too. It's like the sun in your heart, and when you chant very nicely, then it evaporates and takes away all the dirty things from your heart. And you can see things as they are. So actually it's described, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao, Gauradai Pushvantao Chitrao Shandao Tamonudao. They are like the sun and moon, which have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaura, to dissipate the darkness and to give benediction to all. And in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's some very beautiful verses that explain how the light is coming into our heart. First it says, there is the sun, yes, there is the sun of this world, and that just reveals external objects like plates and bowls and cups. But there is the other sun, and that is Gaur Nitai. And when we worship Gaur Nitai, they come into our heart. Now what happens next? When Gaur Nitai comes into our heart, we're worshiping them, then they give us the light to meet two kinds of Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. And from these two Bhagavats, we serve the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Nashta Prayesha Bhadeshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That if we serve these two Bhagavatas, then almost all the dirty things in our heart, or the dirty things become reduced almost to nil. So that's the level of Nishta, Bhaktir Bhakti Naishtaki. At least passion and ignorance should be gone, and we can be in the mode of goodness. That would be very helpful. It's like the airport. I've been in a lot of airports. So the airport helps you to go to your destination. So mode of goodness will help you to go back to Godhead. And that is our behavior in Krishna consciousness. We behave in the mode of goodness. So the son of the Lord Chaitanya Nitai help us meet the two Bhagavatas. And when we serve the Bhagavatas, then after that, bhakti comes in our heart. So it's all happening here. And then when bhakti comes, one more thing happens. What happens after bhakti comes in our heart? Can anybody tell me? You capture Krishna by your love. The love captures Krishna. That's right in the second verse of Bhagavatam too, that by listening attentively and submissively, you can capture Krishna in your heart. So this is very wonderful. This is the sun is very helpful. It's giving us light outside and also light inside. But the real sun is Bhagavatam and the pure devotee. So, and when we clean our heart, then bhakti is ready to come. So the sun god is helping us, but we have to know what is the real. Of course, the sun is also there helping us, the light in the heart. And the light, if you stay in the sunlight, you can purify your mind. But more powerful than that is the pure devotee and the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, the super soul in the heart is very interesting. For the non-devotees, then he's Vishnu. But when the devotee starts worshipping Krishna, then the super soul becomes his Ishtadev, becomes his the super soul. If you worship Radha and Krishna become your super soul. If you worship Panchatattva, they become your super soul. And even in Chaitanya Charitamrita is described, Gauranga is also super soul. He's the one that's actually mentioned in the first Gayatri mantra. In that Gayatri, it's Gauranga. He's the real sun god, because he's illuminating our heart. So he's most important. So here the prayer is, be pleased with me. We want the Lord to be pleased with us. So how to do that? We have to follow the instructions of our spiritual master. Try to please the spiritual master. When I was a pujari in Calcutta, I was worshipping Radha Govinda. When Prabhupada was here, that was my service. And one time Srila Prabhupada came, I mean, many times he came, but one time he came in for darshan of the deities. And the special thing about our deities was we had an abundance of flowers all the time. I had one man donating 50 garlands every day just for Radha Govinda, Lord Chaitanya, and Jagannath. So I would change the flowers 5 times every day. So this particular darshan, it was even more, because I was dressing the deities, and then they kept bringing flowers and more, and I was putting them up and around and everywhere. It was just so many flowers. So Prabhupada took darshan. He sat on his vyasasam with many sannyasis surrounding him, because they were on their way to Mayapur. He would come to Calcutta on his way to Mayapur and coming back from Mayapur. So then we would see him every time in Calcutta. So he sat on the Vyasasan and he called myself and my husband up. We were the pujaris. And he said, thank you very much. And then after we were off our obeisances, then one sannyasi came to us and he said to us, did you hear what Prabhupada said when you were offering obeisance? And we said, no, we didn't hear. He said, be blessed. So this blessing is very nice. But what I understood is you can't just get the blessing and then go to sleep the next day and say, okay, back to Godhead, I'm going back to Godhead, don't have to worry anymore. No, you have to earn the blessings. Every day, every second, you have to earn the blessings of the spiritual master. So here it's repeating, so many prayers. Why is this repetition? And because he's covering all the different aspects of the Supreme Lord. This is the way, through his devotees. Through the fire god, through the soma, through the sun god, he's worshipping the Supreme Lord. The Lord is pleased when he hears the name of his devotees. So through the devotees, Lord Brahma is worshipping the Lord. So this is the goal of our life, to try to please the Lord. And these demigods have understood it. We have to follow in their footsteps also and try to please Krishna. Whatever activity we're doing, we should not do it in thinking, I want something for myself. I want something back. This is mixed with karma. Or if we think, I want liberation, and this is mixed with jnana. This is something for ourselves. Lord Chaitanya taught, Natanam, Najanam, Nasundari, Kavidam va jagadish kamaye, mama jamani jamanishare, bhavata bhakti rohe tukitwe, that I don't want these things. I just want your devotional service, life after life, birth after birth. And so we are praying for the Lord to be pleased with us. And that is the goal of our life. When we do our service, we should think, okay, I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. I'm chanting my japa to make him happy. I want to make him happy by chanting. I want to make him happy by speaking Bhagavatam, or whatever we have to do. We should think, okay, I'm trying to make the Lord happy by this service. Okay? Any questions or comments, Maharaj? It's a little fast. But I like the sun god. Yes. In Mayapur, I watch the rising and the setting. Chan Gayatri. To the sun. It's a special sun. Jananivas says the sun in Mayapur is not an ordinary sun. But then I remember him when I see the sun everywhere else, too. Any questions, sir? Yes.
I think that it's a bit tricky this with when you should try to please Krishna, because in the beginning.
Yeah, it's a little tricky, that's for sure. Yeah, in the beginning, yes, that's understandable. It's a gradual process. Yeah. But it's really interesting to make an experiment and just try, you know. Some part of your day to say, okay, this thing, okay, everything else is a little mixed, but this one I'm going to really try and just make you happy, Krishna.
Yeah, but then the motivation,
why you want to make him happy? So he will. Yeah, that's how Dhruva was, so that's okay. It takes time. So that's all right. Krishna says, if someone worships me and he wants something back, then I will take away that thing from him, and I will give him my lotus feet. And that, because Krishna, Oh, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Skaraj is explaining Krishna's mentality. He says, Krishna says, I'm intelligent. Why should I give this fool poison to drink? So if you have a child and you see they're picking up something dangerous, you know, like poison to drink, then what will you do? You will take it away. So Krishna, he may take it away, or he may, if you can use it for him, then okay, fine. You want the bliss. Then you make Krishna happy and you'll feel the bliss. No, that's okay. You can be happy chanting. You can be happy doing these things. It's allowed. It's allowed. But don't expect that you'll get it every time. You know, you have to. Don't be a bliss seeker. Of course, naturally we are, because we're Ananda Mayobhyasa. We're part of Krishna. We want happiness, and so it's good if you do it in the right place. That is recommended. You look for the happiness spiritually, don't look for it materially. It's very nice. Yes?
Yes, the 2 points were too fast for me.
I know.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, I was excited.
The first point was why the sky is blue. And,
yeah, okay.
And the second point, the true Bhagavata is in the heart.
Okay. Okay, the sky is blue because Krishna is blue. And the sky is blue because it's the reflection of his body. The effulgence of his body is the sky we see. It's the light of the sun. It's a reflection of his body. And because he's blue, then the reflection is blue. Okay, and the two Bhagavatas are the devotee, the pure devotee, your guru, and also the sadhus, the devotees. And the second one is the book, Bhagavat. Book and devotee. These are the two Bhagavatas. Yes. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes?
Vishnu talked about it. He says whenever there is a prayer, you know, there is a request.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, in your own experience, is it better to, you know, I take, you know, responsibility for asking, you know, what I think I need
Well, I ask what I need. For my health, I go to Nishigadev. Because the thing is, when you're a devotee, whatever you need, it's for the service of Krishna. So for your health, for me to keep traveling, it's my body is my service. Traveling is my service. So therefore, it's not so I can just go out and, you know, get married again and have fun and forget about Krishna. Or most people do yoga so they can enjoy this world. But, you know, I do yoga also so I can keep my health. And I also like if sometimes, I try my best to depend on Krishna, but sometimes it's just too much and I just say, you know, all right, I need, you know, please do something about this health, you know. If it comes to some point, I try to tolerate as much as I can. And but traveling, you really depend on Krishna. You know, like I know one time I was, I'm always overweight on my luggage somehow. And one time I had a 19 kg carry-on, and I was, you know, no way I could. And there's a cheap airline; you have to carry it up the steps, right? No way I could carry that. So I just thought, okay, I got to depend on Krishna here. Of course, I used my intelligence too. I saw one young man who had nothing, and I kind of walked behind him. And he looked at me, "Oh, can I help you with your suitcase?" Anyway, yeah. And I always pray to Balaram whenever I go through the security check, because I have my Giriraj with me, and I pray to Gauranga, Jai Gaur, whenever he goes through the, so that nobody, they won't take him away from me, you know. And that's protection of Krishna, I guess. But when I have to lift something, then I pray to Balaram, because my luggage is always overweight. And sometimes I have to look like it doesn't weigh anything, right? Because you're not supposed to, you know, 10 kg limit or... And the thing is, it's good because you always turn to Krishna whatever you need, whenever you're in trouble. It's a good habit to have, even if you're mixed. In fact, in one of the last verses, I just finished studying Bhagavatam for Bhaktivedanta, 12th canto, one of the last verses, it's in the 12th chapter, says, if you fall down, if you sneeze, you should say Krishna. So then you get in the habit. So at time of death, it may be like that. It may be very quick. And you just have to say Krishna. Somebody's coming to attack you, you have to say Krishna. Or whatever. Or you're in a car that's out of control. You just have to say, Krishna. Krishna, remember him. Help me. It's allowed. It's very much allowed. It's part of devotional service to pray to the Lord for help. And the demigods are like that too. They're going to put in their request very soon. Sometimes they hint at it, you know. You protected this one, you protected that one, and can you also protect us? In some of their prayers, they'll say, remember when you protected these people, and remember when you protected those people, and now we're in trouble, so it's, please. Yeah, no, I think it's really good. And whatever your need is, you go to Krishna. Even if you're mixed, it'll come out, you'll come out pure. And the demigods are the example. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.